Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? This passage from our reading from Isaiah is one of my favorite. I find it to be a constant invitation to seek the new thing God is doing in my life. It's hard not to remember the things of old. The old things provide grounding for which we claim our identity. But a life in God is constantly urging us to seek out the new thing God is doing in spite of we have become our normal patterns or ways of thinking. Even in times of pain or loss, or especially in those times of death and hopelessness, God is doing a new thing in and through all of these life experiences. The noted psychiatrist and neurologist Dr. Viktor Frankl developed a theory called logotherapy that is founded upon the belief that it is striving to find meaning in one's life that is the primary, most powerful, motivating, and driving force in human beings. We are hardwired by God to seek out the beautiful and meaningful, even in the most horrific of situations. Dr. Frankl shared a story at a convention I planned where he was our featured speaker several years ago. He said that when he was in the concentration camp during World War II, he was there with most of his family whom he saw die. What he brought into the camp, he smuggled in 2 vials of morphine. He heard that his father at the camp was near death from his own natural causes, and he was able to administer this morphine to his father near the time of his death. He said, "Giving my father a peaceful passage into death was one of the most peak experiences of my life. In the midst of the terror and pain of Auschwitz, Frankl found power and meaning. In spite of the efforts of the Nazis to completely crush their spirits, he found joy at giving his father the gift of peace. As a way for us to remember this story of finding this new thing, finding meaning in a situation where it seemed impossible to experience joy or beauty, Dr. Frankl gave to us a vial of earth from Auschwitz." Who among us was not moved back in 2006 by the story of the Amish community in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, who visited the family of Charles Carl Roberts, who had shot their children in the Amish school the day before? Or the forgiveness extended to Dylan Roof by the congregation of Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina? This kind of witness of radical forgiveness was indeed a new thing God was doing that set an example for all of us. They found meaning in their faith and transformed all of us for a time by their embrace of God's ways and not the ways of the world. When I was in Michigan for my mom's funeral 6 years ago this past month, one of her caregivers named Caroline, who was in the room when my mother died, came up to me and gave me a big hug at the funeral. Then she said something that was confusing to me. She said, "Now I am able to return the favor to you for the favor you gave to me." I asked what she meant. She said that I was there for her Aunt Georgine Nethercott when she was dying. I knew Georgine from the time I was in high school and I directed an adult and youth choir in my hometown. In 1976, I was in seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I visited her periodically because the hospital was nearby. Georgine's family considered my time with her to be pivotal in the acceptance of her death, which came just a few days after my visit. At least that's what she told them. I had no idea my mother's caregiver, Caroline, was the niece to Georgine and that they were close. She knew of the time I spent with her aunt and made that connection. Between my being with Georgine and her being with my own mother at the time of her death. Another new thing of incredible beauty and meaning in the midst of loss and pain. What our gospel passage is teaching us today, extravagant outpourings of love on the part of Mary who anointed Jesus' feet with a valuable ointment. Sadly, the translation we have in our text is perfume. In our culture, we think of perfume as something women use sparingly behind their ears. This is not what was happening with Mary in anointing Jesus. The ointment in this gospel was used by both men and women. It was imported from India and was the most expensive ointment available in the time of Jesus. A pound of this ointment would have been a pound of perfume. A pound of nard would come in a jar, about 3 inches high and about 5 inches in diameter. This would have been a big jar of ointment. The fragrance from this substance that Mary used to anoint Jesus' feet was the most precious thing one could imagine. And as the story says, the aroma filled the whole house. I found it online and ordered a bottle of this essence that comes now in a bottle form, and it's not very expensive, but I'm afraid it didn't make it in time for this sermon for you to see, but it should be here next week. The image we have is that Mary puts it on his feet and dries it with her hair. It was much more than that. This ointment, which would have been massaged into Jesus' feet by Mary, she would have used her hair to help massage the ointment into his feet. This was indeed a very intimate and personal encounter between Mary and Jesus. Mary was doing an extravagant act of love and devotion in anticipation of Jesus' death. The implication is this ointment, which was worthy of a king, is used by Mary to communicate her love for Jesus. The cultural norms in relation to anointing were virtually universal in the ancient world. This was seen as a supreme gift of love that a woman could give to a man. Who knows? Maybe Mary's extravagant gift to Jesus might have been a teaching moment for him when we find him doing something similar a week later, washing the feet of his own disciples in Jerusalem, when he prepares them for his impending death and their continued work to be followers and servants of God's people. When faced with the reality, disappointment, and failure of loss and death, finding meaning is of paramount importance for us. When nothing seems to make sense, as Frankl reminds us, we look for beauty and meaning. Isaiah reminds us to seek out the new thing God is doing to help us experience God's grace in very difficult times. I would venture to say that God is doing a new thing among us at St. Peter's. After a long and painful time you experienced as a community just a few years ago of transition, God is at work, continuing to restore and reconcile you in your personal lives and ministries and in our corporate life together, and in ways that will yet surprise us in the future. God is doing a new thing in our midst, providing a pathway for new life to emerge out of the old ways of doing and being. Feel the balm of the Holy Spirit in your midst. Look for opportunities to continue to be agents of that reconciliation and healing for one another. Look for the new thing God is doing that may not be readily apparent. As we move toward the end of our Lenten season, it is good for us to celebrate the new thing that God accomplished through the life, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That is what Holy Week is all about. Jesus died not as an innocent victim, but as a faithful witness to the ways of God, the author of life, who is constantly doing a new thing in our lives each and every day for each of us. If we can but strive to seek the meaning and the beauty in our midst. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?